Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio Live. You know, when asked how she communicates with animals, our very special guest, Shirley Scott, says, "When I'm communicating with an animal, I'm really open to the animal sending me pictures and feeling their emotions in my body and to understand what they're saying. You have to really get out of your humanness." She always says dogs and animals cannot come into the human world. Rather, we go into theirs, and that means without judgment, living in the present, and understanding where they're coming from. Animals do know how we feel, and there's certain signs that they give off that when we pay attention to them can be incredibly invaluable for us and them. She says we have to remember that all animals can smell pheromones, hormones produced by our glands. Every mood change, humans put out a different smell. We've all heard about dogs that can smell things like cancer. Well, animals do have the ability for survival in the wild, that they know how and what is going on around them. Domesticated animals don't lose this ability, so they know what's going on often long before we've ever know, which is amazing. They know when we're sick before we actually know because we smell different. Animals can also see auras and the energies around us, which we've talked about in previous episodes here in our exclusive series. This is part four in our series here on Close Up Radio Live. They're good at seeing spirits as well. Many dog owners have noticed that pets looking just above the top of their head instead of their eyes, well, these animals are looking at the auras. Between pheromones and auras, animals' awareness of what's going on is really heightened compared to humans. Shirley offers her psychic readings for both pets and humans over the phone, email, or Zoom in increments from 15 minutes to an hour. And she also offers individual classes on animal communication and how to live a more peaceful, less stressful life. A real pleasure to welcome her to the show, Shirley Scott, animal communicator and psychic, joining us here on the program. Shirley, welcome back to Close Up Radio Live. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. I look forward to it.
You're very welcome. You know, we've talked about so many incredible things, and one of the things as part of your animal communication and healing services and all the books is the understanding of the sort of the signals that are given out by animals that indicate certain things that are happening with them or certain things that they can feel that's going on with us. Let's elaborate on that. That is really incredibly fascinating. Tell us about that.
Well, because animals live in the present moment, they want things in the present moment or they sense things in the present moment. You know, I always say animals won't say, "I want dinner at 5. You know, I want it now." And
right.
So they don't understand. But, you know, we all know that when, like, our dog has to go out and go potty, you know, maybe they'll stand at the door and whine or do circles or bark, and we get that. But when an animal doesn't feel good, a lot of times they will do other things to tell us that. Like, they'll go lay in a different place than they're used to, or they'll come up and just put their head in our lap and look at us, trying to get us to pay attention to them that they don't feel well. And if we ignore them, they can become sometimes a little destructive, like they can get something to chew on just to get our attention because they're really trying to tell us something that either they don't feel good or something is wrong outside maybe, you know. So we really need to look at the animal and pay attention to them. They try to communicate so much through their body language and actions. If they can't, you know, they'll go into sounds and sometimes, like I say, destructive behaviors just to get us to pay attention to them in that moment, to tell us something about what's going on with them.
That's amazing. It really is on so many different levels. Let's hear maybe some examples of that in action. What would be something that one would do that is an indication of something. Like you and I were laughing off camera, off air, that you know, when they have to do their business and they want to go outside, they will certainly circle, and they will be right there sort of giving you that indication, I need to go outside, and I need to go outside now. What are some other things we should look for?
Well, you know, I had a client that had a cat, and the cat was not a real lovey cat or lap sitter or anything. And all of a sudden, this cat started almost demanding to sit on her lap every time she sat down. And she kept going, I don't know what's wrong with this cat. You know, it's just gotten to be sort of a headache for me. And I said, you need to take the cat to the vet because the cat doesn't feel good. And he's trying to get your attention to tell you that he doesn't feel good. And sure enough, she took him to the vet, and he had an infection. And once she got that cleared up, the cat then didn't want to sit on her lap anymore, you know. And so they do things like that. Or if I have had clients that have said their dog has sniffed, like for breast cancer, the dog will sniff their chest and won't give up and won't give up. And they go in and you know, have a mammogram, and they find out that they've got breast cancer and the dog has been smelling it. So there's things like that that we have to watch for, these activities they do that are out of norm for them, that they're doing abnormal things. Like a lot of times a dog, when he's sick, will go lay someplace other than his bed or a crate or anything and just lay down and stare at you like, I'm not feeling well, come look at me. Or they'll come and put their head in your lap. You know, things that are not normal for your animal to do really are signs that they're either not feeling good or something is wrong, and they want you to pay attention to that. And they do it, you know, in the now. And they'll do things that will, you know, almost irritate a human. They're like, leave me alone, leave me alone. But they're trying to tell you that something is really wrong.
Right, exactly. So is this something that, how do we pay attention to this? How do we learn to look for those signals and those signs?
You learn to look from them by, if you notice one little thing, stop, put down the newspaper, put the, you know, your phone away, close the computer, whatever, and sit there in the moment with them and ask them, what is going on with you or what is wrong? And watch their reaction to it and how they will either, you'll get something back in a thought, or you will understand something, a thought could come to you, this is what's wrong. You know, a lot of clients will say, well, I sat there and stared at my dog and I just felt like, you know, they had a bladder infection or they had an upset stomach. That's the animal sending a message to them saying, this is what's happening. You know, I had a client the other day that had changed the, he put bags in his litter box, plastic bags, and then he put the litter in it, and then he'd just pick it up and throw it all away. Well, he changed the bags, and the cat, he called me, and the cat is going outside the litter box, going potty, just outside the litter box. And I said, well, I think it's bags. And he said, well, I did get new bags. I got a different kind of bag. So he watched the cat, but he sat there and looked at the cat and said, what do you think is wrong with you? And he said he did get the idea in his head that the bags, they didn't like the smell of these bags. So he got the old type bags and they quit going outside the litter box. So it's things like that, you know, if we just take a few minutes and live in the present moment with our animal, put away everything that takes our time and our worries and our space, and because animals live in that present moment, we can get those messages back from them. It's really quite amazing what people will get if they take the time to focus in on their pet.
It really is incredible. And those pheromones we've been talking about, these are the hormones produced by our glands. That is, at every mood change, they can pick that all up. We don't even realize we're giving that off, but they sure do, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, I tell people, if you're in a stressful job, on your way home, try to leave that stress at the office or outside the door, because a dog, especially, and a cat, will pick up that anxiety, and you know, and we make our animals nuts sometimes with our stress and our anxiety, because they'll smell it, they'll feel it, they know that we're upset. They don't really know why we're upset, and it's best to tell them. You know, I always tell people, talk to your animals like they're 5-year-old children, because most animals can't understand that much. They can. So if you talk to them and tell them it's not you, and you know, the stress of the day, you are actually sending them pictures of work and what it is doing to you. And they start to understand that it's not their fault. Because a lot of animals will think, well, what did I do wrong? Why are you so upset? So it's better to be very honest with an animal and talk to them like they're a 5-year-old. It's been proven that dogs can learn as much as a 5-year-old child. So can a cat. Sheep can remember, I think it's 50 faces for 5 years. You know, and goats can learn to shake hands and do all sorts of things. So animals, a lot of times, are a lot smarter than we give them credit for.
Right, which is amazing. It really, really is. Let's talk about a typical day, if there is a typical day for you. If people are tuning in for the first time and they're like, well, this is amazing. This sounds fascinating, what she does. How does it work when you're working with somebody for the very first time? What is that process like initially? Do you do an assessment? How does it all work? It may be, this may be brand new to people.
Yeah. Usually when a person calls me and we'll use a dog as an example, they want a reading for their dog. I will ask the breed, I will ask the name, and I will ask the age, because those things I have to have to make sure I'm honing in on the right dog, because, you know, there's 1,000 rubies or there's 1,000, you know, Fidos or whatever. So I need certain things. So, and then I will go through the person's energy that's thinking about their dog, and I'm connecting with them, and then I'll connect with their dog. And then I pick up, it's like a radio wave going out from my brain that hits their life vibration. And when I get that, I connect to it. And, you know, many of my clients say, well, my dog's coming in here looking at me now. And I, you know, I'll say that's because they know I'm connecting with them. It's amazing how the animals can feel my energy. And so I will connect with that dog. And then the client will ask me questions, or they'll tell me that, you know, their dog is acting strange, or this behavior, you know, hasn't been going on for long, but, you know, very different behavior. And I will send messages to that animal and ask them, you know, what's going on? Why is this happening? And then I get answers back from the animal, like, you know, a lot of times it's like, well, their medication changed and, you know, my owner's smelling different. Or they're bored and they need more mental stimulation, not only just a walk, but they need more mental stimulation. Or they will, you know, a new person's in the house that maybe they don't care for, and they'll let me know that too. So it's a matter of me connecting with the right vibration, because, you know, every living thing on earth has its own vibration, and none of them are the same, not any of them. And so I have to connect with the owner and then the pet. And a lot of times the animal will already be waiting for me. I'll just connect with them. I'm not sure how I do that so quick, but I've been doing it for over, you know, 25 years. So it connects really fast for me. And then we go on with questions and answers from the animal to me and from me to the animal, to relate all that information back to the client.
That's wonderful. What's an example maybe of a success story maybe you can share with us?
One that comes to mind is there were two little dogs in this one house, and they could not get along. And the owners had to keep them sort of separated. And these two, for some reason, and they had just kind of started this. They had lived together about a year, and they had started this, you know, where they were attacking each other. So I got in touch with both the dogs, and they were really fighting for an alpha position. And they were both young, and they were, you know, they were just trying to figure out who they were. So I talked to the dogs and told them that neither one of them were an alpha, that the parent was an alpha. The human was the alpha. And that they were making the human very sad and crying because of their behavior, and that if one of them didn't like the other, maybe they would they like to find another home, because that would be an option. And I said, if you would try sitting by the door with each other, looking out the door, because they used to do that, and then they'd growl at each other. I said, look out the screen door together and just look at each other and tell each other you love each other, and then look out the door. And just, you know, meanwhile, the client's thinking I'm nuts. And but by the time we got off the phone, about 3 days later, she called me, and she said they haven't fought. And she said they are now sleeping together. They have come to terms that, that they're neither one are alpha. And it was a whole great relationship that these two dogs, and they had it for years. But they realized that they didn't have to fight each other, that they could live in peace with each other, and neither one of them had to be boss.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You have another example? People love examples.
Oh, Carl, there's so many. Trying to think of another one. Let me think. There was a goose one time that could not, it lived on a farm, and the goose and the rooster, the goose thought that he was the protector of the chickens, and the rooster thought he was protector of the chickens, and they couldn't get along. And they were separated for a long time, and finally the owner called me, and I talked to them, and I got them to live together by kind of taking shifts. Like if the duck was in, or the goose was in one place and the chickens went over there, that was sort of his territory, and the rooster said that was okay. And then if the chickens went over by the rooster, then the goose said that was okay. So they didn't fight anymore, and they had this territorial boundary that was actually an energy boundary that we had made because the goose wanted to be on one side and the rooster wanted to be on the other. And so they learned to live together quite well by just being, this is your boundary and this is your boundary.
Hmm. What are some of the things
animals listen. Animals don't want to fight.
Right?
Yeah, they don't. They really don't want to fight.
Right, exactly. No. It'd be nice if people followed the.
Yeah. They, you know, animals will come to a understanding of each other and a territory. In most cases, you know, wild animals are a little bit different, and it does. Animals, when you communicate with them, wild is a lot different than domesticated, and predators are a lot different than prey animals. But, you know, in the wild, you know, like bears and stuff, they'll be very territorial about their territory. You know, they will fight. But in most cases, even then, you know, if one turns and runs, the other lets them go.
Right, exactly. Which I think is kind of exciting, too. You do these over the phone, the psychic readings, over the phone, email, or Zoom, and you do them in the increments of 15 minutes to an hour, and you also offer the individual classes on animal communication and how to live a more peaceful, less stressful life. Are you teaching people how to be animal communicators as well?
I can if they have the ability and really the drive to do it, because I tell people you can't do it just, you know, once a week or, you know, once every couple weeks. It takes practice every day. And, you know, every day I'm doing a reading for somebody, and you really have to learn to live in the present moment and practice it. It's like any other gift, you know, it's like painting or, you know, violin or whatever. You've got to have the dedication. Everybody has a built-in intuitive behavior. You know, we're all intuitive. That's sort of built into us because it's all in the animal kingdom, and we're part of that. So we are intuitive. There are people that have more psychic ability than others, but intuitively, you can read your own pets because you know them, you live with them, and you are connected to them. You know, not everybody can do long-distance reading on animals. They can't. It's just not in their wheelhouse to do that, which is great. It's fine. But I do teach them at least to be able to recognize what their pets are saying to them and help them understand their animals for sure.
Which is important. What are some of the things that you love most about this work?
I think the thing I love most is helping the human understand their animals better, to really focus in on what their animals are trying to tell them and say to them that they might be missing. It brings this closer connection between a human and an animal, and it goes beyond just an owner and a pet. It goes beyond, you know, it's a friendship. It's a family connection. It's sort of a soul-to-soul communication where it's a greater enjoyment for both because they both know what the other is thinking and when things are going to be done and how things are going to be done. And it just brings this closeness. And I think that really is the most fulfilling for me.
What do you see as the future of this work?
I really think that if people would connect more with the animal kingdom, and even just if they're out watching animals in the wild, it would bring that kingdom closer to us. It would be less probably abuse in all animals, and it would help us connect with what is going on in the animal kingdom, and that we could bring that into our world to help us understand Mother Nature better.
You know, it's something that, again, is really quite special. And when did you realize you had these gifts? How long ago? Were you a kid? Is this something that, I know in the earlier episodes we sprinkled this in a little bit, but I think people will probably be fascinated who are listening for the first time today, or maybe they missed when we talked a little bit about that. It's something quite unique and special.
You know, when I was little and growing up as a kid, I was one of these kids that my mom cringed when I'd come home and say, you know, this dog followed me home or this bird has a broken wing or, you know. I brought home everything, and then, you know, of course, I wanted a mouse and a rat for, you know, a pet. And my mom, bless her soul, would just, you know. But and so I always sort of communicated with them. But it was in the year 2000 when I had a near-death out-of-body experience. And the other side sent me back into my body just before they had to use the chest paddles on me. And I really brought back the gift then, and that put me on the path I'm on now. And that was, you know, 24 years ago. And I have studied, and the voice on the other side, when it sent me back, I'll never forget, it said, go back and stay conscious. I'll never forget that voice. It said, go back and stay conscious. And I thought that meant being just awake. You know, my eyes are open, I'm walking around. But it really means be conscious of what is going on around you, what you're seeing, what you're feeling, what you're sensing. You know, animals will sense a storm by the barometer change long before it gets here. My goat, you can set your watch. If my goat goes into his house and there's clouds up, it's going to rain in 20 minutes. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He knows that. And, you know, being conscious means being aware of your thoughts, your words, your actions, and the actions of others and their words around you. It's hearing what they're saying, but also hearing what they're not saying. And I have studied that for years, and that just helps me read people better by what I hear and don't hear, and animals by what they tell me, and watching animals out in the forest. I live in the middle of the woods, so, you know, I have deer that come down, and we have bear and cougar, And just watching those animals and learning from them how the world is in their world of survival. It's an amazing thing to do, and it's a training. You really have to train yourself to do it, but in my world, it's really worth it. It really is, because I can communicate with anything, and I have. I mean, I've communicated with alligators to zebras. I really have, and it's amazing what they tell you about their world.
Anything that has ever been disturbing or shocking or surprising, something that even you've been baffled by as a result of this true understanding? You know, we talk about understanding the human condition, but you can understand or relate to both the human condition and the animal condition.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think the thing that hits me sometimes the strongest is how animals relate to death. They accept death. Death is part of their living. It's part of their survival. And most of the time they're pretty matter-of-fact about it, and they know where they're going. And every day that's why animals live to their fullest, and they celebrate their life. You know, a lot of animals, if they're going to be euthanized in a day, that the day before, they go out and they run and they play, and, you know, you'd think there wasn't a thing wrong with them because they're celebrating life. So animals celebrate every day as a new and different adventure, and they accept death as something that's in their world, that if they're not, you know, aware enough, they will be killed. Or if they are old and sick, they know that it's okay to lay down and cross over because they know where they're going. So those things to me in the animal kingdom always sort of, they hit hard, but it's such a openness about life and death.
You know, it's interesting about what you just said. And again, it's amazing how animals and humans have a similar trajectory sometimes, you know, getting some of the similar illnesses and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people do that too. Somebody will do their darndest when they're near death to make it to Christmas or to make it to their birthday or to make it to the birth of the new baby in the family,
right.
Which is really amazing how that happens. And some will say, boy, they were a burst of energy yesterday. They were like running and doing, or even if they're in a hospital bed, they were talking and they were energetic, and then slowly, peacefully go once either they make it to the milestone or they've had that big burst of energy. Isn't that fascinating?
It is. It is fascinating. It's like a celebration of life. And then they let go, and they're ready to go. And that's what they do. And it's refreshing to talk to them once they get to the other side, too, and see where they are and what they're doing. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun over there. Yeah.
How has this taught you about life and about death, what you've observed animals doing?
That there is life after life, I call it.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact because I've been there. And that we should live every day to the fullest. Because really none of us actually know when it's going to be our last day. But living it to the fullest and enjoying it and living in the peace and love that you can every day is where animals want to be. And if we could learn that from them, our life would be amazing.
What would be a final message you'd like to leave for our audience?
To let go of guilt and worry, live in the very present moment with your animal or with your spouse, or, you know, whatever counts this second. That's all that counts. You know, there's really no future because when we get there, it's the present and the past is gone. Live and and be happy and just count your blessings and see what a beautiful life you have.
Beautifully said. Shirley, thanks for joining us here on the show. Tremendous conversations we've been having. We hope you come back. Love to hear more. It's such a fascinating topic and so important. You know, animals comfort us and we comfort them, and it's a wonderful unconditional love relationship, and one that needs to be nurtured and celebrated. I encourage folks to go to Shirley-Scott.com. That's Shirley-Scott.com to learn more about this and everything else that she's doing, and the opportunity to connect with her and take advantage of the amazing services and wonderful extras that she has too. Shirley, again, this was terrific. Come see us again. That would be a pleasure. And I hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I have with you.
I did. Thank you so much, Jim. Have a great day.
You as well, Shirley. You be well. Shirley Scott, isn't she amazing? I love chatting with her. But the half hours go by so incredibly fast. You be well, and thank you for joining us. This is your host, Jim Masters. Thank you for your time this time. Till next time, right here on Close Up Radio Live. This episode recorded in full in its entirety, so you can hear it again and share it. And we say come see us again for more great episodes here on the series. For all of us, have a great day. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.